We're turning this morning, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 23. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is of the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 18. The 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. We want to read verse 9. Deuteronomy 18:9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Now what that is a dedication to practice pagan religion. It's part of the worship of the god Molech, and it was more or less an initiation ceremony into false religion. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, that's another word for sorcery, or an observer of the times, that has to do with living by omens, or an enchanter, as someone who casts spells, or a witch, as someone who practices magic, or a charmer, as someone who invokes spirits, or a consulter with familiar spirits, as a medium, or a wizard, again that's practicing the magic. The witch is a woman, the wizard a man, both practice magic. Or a necromancer, as one who calls up the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to fellowship together around thy word. We thank you that you promised that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we know that there will not fail one word of all your good promise. In the light of that, we're thankful that even though we're living in the last days, the wickedest times the world's ever known, that we can rejoice in the Lord Jesus. We can be concerned about the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And we can rejoice in the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. We ask you now to help us, that our fellowship today might be eternally profitable. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to bring you number 22 in a series of sermons on the end time. The title of this message is Harry Potter's Demons. Harry Potter's Demons. I know that most of you know very little about Harry Potter. But if you have much contact with the media, I know that's almost an impossibility. Harry Potter appeared in my sermon on August the 12th, almost 4 weeks ago. And in the Bible study sheet that I gave you, Bible study sheet number 20 on page 4, we reprinted for you the documentation that I used with regard to Harry Potter. I told you about the forthcoming movie. There's only one problem. It was a hoax. It contained phony quotations. It was a lie. Something made up to deceive Bible-believing Christians. document that claimed to come from the American Family Association. That part was a lie. Didn't come from them at all. I got it from the Plains Baptist Challenger in Lubbock, Texas. That's a newsletter that we've relied upon for over 20 years when it comes to documentation. But I read you what it says from the American Family Association website that we now have a copy of, a little bit late. It says, Christians appear to be falling for an email hoax about the Harry Potter children's book series. The hoax has as its source a satirical website called The Onion. It is well known for its funny, inventive satire, as well as its vulgar and blasphemous stories. In a story entitled Harry Potter Books, Spock Rise and Satanism Among Children, the satire looked at the controversy over the book series focused on witchcraft. It contains a number of blasphemous comments about Jesus, Christianity, and the Bible, and makes the claim that the statements come from children who read and are being influenced by Harry Potter. Also included in the story is a fictional interview with Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who supposedly insults Jesus Christ while happily endorsing Satanism. None of these stories are true. The hoax also claims falsely that the American Family Association has been sending out an email which warns Christians about the comments. So, to a great measure, those who were sending out this material accomplished what they sought to accomplish. Because I was deceived. I don't like to be deceived. I don't like to be deceived in any case. But I especially don't like to be deceived when I've been preaching to you for several months that the number one sign of the last days is deception. In Matthew 24, the disciples spoke to the Lord Jesus. They said, tell us when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. And the first words out of the Lord's mouth were, take heed that no man deceive you. The number one sign of the last days. Deception. If you know 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, you know what God says. Said in the Old Testament as well. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I thought I had two reliable witnesses. I thought between the American Family Association and the Plains Baptist Challenger that it would be an accurate source. But let me tell you how the prince of the power of the internet pulled this off. If I had seen the actual article, which I now have a copy of, if I had seen the actual article, I don't know in 30 seconds that it was a hoax. For 3.5 years, I was a sailor stationed on Coast Guard cutters. And I'm sure you've heard the old euphemism, he cusses like a sailor. That was me. Profanity was a major part of my life. And the Lord took it away when I got saved. But in the course of that life as a sailor, I heard some profanity that would bother your mind. But I never read anything like this document right here. That's as vile and as blasphemous as anything I've ever heard or read. So if I had just seen the actual document, I would have known immediately there was no problem. But this shows you the depth of the satanic wisdom behind this thing. Somebody who had this wisdom that's earthly and sensual and devilish rewrote the article. They took it from the Onion website and they cleaned it up. And they made it into something that they believed and they were right, that they could get somebody like the Plains Baptist Challenger to publish. And that's exactly what happened. They cleaned it up. They sent it as an email with the American Family Association name on it. And as most of you know, once you get on the internet, email goes everywhere in the world. That's why they call it the World Wide Web. You can email back and forth free of charge to foreign places like Lubbock, Texas, for example. And there in the home of the Plains Baptist Challenger, they published this material, not realizing what they were doing, and they passed it on to me, and I did the same. Then those who perpetrated this hoax can enjoy themselves. They can sit back and relax and smirk about the fact that Bible-believing Christians are so easily deceived. But more important, they can spread the word. They can spread the word to all the people who saw that, that here are these narrow-minded fundamentalists, these book burners and book banners, who are criticizing these wonderful Harry Potter books when there's really nothing wrong with them. But I want to suggest to you that there's a reason why the Lord let me be deceived. In our recent studies, we've been talking about why these are the last days. Not just observing that they are, but asking ourselves, why are these times so bad that they're the end, when God's going to shut it down, call it off, as far as Bible-believing Christianity as we know it is concerned? The signs of the end time point us to the warning of God's Word for a reason. So we won't be involved in the deception. The Lord wanted to get my attention, because apparently I have not sufficiently warned you about the subtleties of demon power. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. And I'm going to say that what I published last time is nothing compared to how far this gets published. So that we can remember that this is not a victory. This is a serious defeat. I'm not bringing this message today to apologize for believing a hoax that is a lie of the devil. I need to remind you that the father of lies is doing just exactly what he told you and told me he would do. He's lying. The Lord Jesus said he was a liar and the father of it. The mastermind behind every lie that's ever told. We don't even realize it. When the devil is empowering us, encouraging us to lie. Revelation 12:9 calls him the great dragon, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The whole world. Not pieces of it. Not everybody but you. Not everybody but our church. He deceived the whole world. And the same verse says, he was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Fallen angels. We usually refer to them that way. Fallen angels working for the God of this world. Demons is another word for them. And we learn from the book of the Revelation that we're talking about one third of an innumerable company of angels. I don't know how many that is, but it's enough. It's enough to cover all the people who've ever lived with their own guardian angel. Not the good kind that God gives, the kind of guardian that will be there to tempt you in every case, to give you every opportunity to do evil, to fix you so that unless you have the power of God protecting you, you will do evil. The Bible tells us also that very shortly, lying is going to increase. It's going to be with all power and signs and lying wonders. I want to take a few minutes to tell you today how Harry Potter fits into all this. First, let me say no more emails. I'm through with emails. Anything that I say about Harry Potter today comes from Christian researchers who are prepared to be sued if they get it wrong. And that's about the best you can do. Let's turn to the Ephesians chapter 2, the second chapter of Ephesians. In the second chapter of Ephesians, I'd like for you to meet the creator of Harry Potter. The creator of Harry Potter. It's not J.K. Rowling, the lady who wrote the books. That's what the publications often call her, the creator of Harry Potter. But she's not the creator. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you have been quickened, that is, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I hope that's talking about you. If you're saved, it's talking about you. If you're not saved, you need to be, so it will be talking about you. He's talking about Christians. And you have been quickened or given life who are dead in trespasses and sins. But what were you like before? Before you were quickened. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to, notice this, the prince of the power of the air. That's Harry Potter. Harry Potter's creator. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There is a spirit working in J.K. Rowling, the English teacher who wrote the books. And the spirit working in her was the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. Not only was he working in her, he's working in the vast majority of people on the face of this earth as children of disobedience. Notice verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation, that's the old English word for manner of life, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Everybody, we all had that manner of life. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We're talking about the creator of Harry Potter. The prince, not the king. God's in charge. The prince with limited access. There must be heresies among you. They which were approved may be manifest among you. The prince of the power of the air. You know about the power of the air. You've seen it this week. Electricity, thunderbolts, lightning. Isn't it strange to see little kids walking around a Walmart with a purple thunderbolt on their forehead? A symbol of the power of the air. That's Harry Potter's symbol. The prince of the power. There's good power and evil power in the air. The power of God, God the King, and the power of the prince of the power of the air. Another name for him would be the prince of the power of the internet. That's how the internet works. The power of the air. The prince of the power of the TV set. The prince of the power of the satellite, of the cable, that brings millions of ideas to the minds of people all day, all night, every night. The spirit of Satan and his demons, empowered by him, they now work in J.K. Rowling. They now work in the children of disobedience. spirits empowered by the Spirit to accomplish His work. Now, I haven't read a lot of Harry Potter, but I've read enough. Read it in a book of analysis of it. I would say that J.K. Rowling is one of the most satanically powerful people on the face of the earth. I'd say she far outweighs Legion. You remember Legion, don't you? Mark chapter 5, verse 9. Legion, a demon-possessed man. And the Lord Jesus met him, and there was a confrontation between them. The name Legion is no doubt connected with the idea of a Roman legion, which could be as many as 6,000 soldiers. Perhaps there were as many as 6,000 demons. But we know that there were 2,000, because 2,000 swine committed suicide. A herd of swine that threw themselves into the sea by demon activity. The demons spoke to them and through them. The demons moved in power upon the life of those swine after moving in the life of the man. And the Lord Jesus let it unfold and be told about in the Bible so we'd know what was going on. Demons can inhabit people. Demons can inhabit animals. Demons spoke and therefore thought. Demons controlled and therefore continue to control. But I can tell you that the herd of swine that's rushing headlong in spiritual suicide brought about by J.K. Rowling is bigger than anything Legion had to offer. It's absolutely incredible how many lives this woman has affected. J.K. Rowling is not the creator of Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling is a witch. She's a witch. You say, prove it. It's very simple. I'm getting ready to. Matthew 7:14, ye shall know them by their fruits. J.K. Rowling is a witch empowered by the prince, the spirit of the prince, who is in fact the creator of Harry Potter. Just a few moments ago, I read you the proof that J.K. Rowling is a witch. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. J.K. Rowling has rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord warned her against all those things that I read you about in Deuteronomy 18. Warned her to stay away from them. Warned her that they were an abomination. But now she is teaching them to children. Teaching them to adults as well. Great multitudes of adults reading those books. But a witch, by Bible definition, is one who enchants or practices magic. A sorcerer is the male version. A witch and a sorcerer. Someone who practices magic. What is magic? You ought to know the answer to that question. What is magic? Magic is the surrender of self to the mysterious power within. Now you need to think about that for several days. Magic is the surrender of self to the mysterious power within. We just read about it. Self and Satan getting together. The spirit that now worketh and the children disobedience. Magic. Magic is the force that empowers the Ouija board. The Ouija board is the number one game board in the world. Ourselves, Monopoly. But it's not a game. Unless you like to play games with demons. It's driven by demonic power. And the demonic power is in the people who play the game. The more power, the more successful they are. And that's the way it is in life. Self and Satan combined is magic. Incredibly powerful magic. The self-help gurus talk about it. You know that if you've got it, you can quit drugs. You can quit alcohol. Without God, without the Bible, the magic of self and Satan combined can do it. The Beatles had Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and he taught them about the magic within. And when they learned the magic, they gained incredible power over nations by their music. By the mysterious power within, they learned how to imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. John Lennon wrote those words inspired by Satan. And you know what's interesting? The man dies. But a few months ago, John Lennon worked his magic again. And London International Airport was named for John Lennon, renamed for John Lennon. And the sign says, "Above us only sky." The words of John Lennon's song. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. And as long as that sign remains on that airport, is a testimony to how Lennon stood up for the truth that there is no hell. What is above us is only air. Only sky that means nothing. We're living for today. That's the important thing. That's the gospel he preached. You need to understand magic. A couple months ago, I was listening to the radio, and I heard a man who was a consultant, a very interesting consultant. He was a consultant to John Cougar Mellencamp and Michael Jackson, among others. Some incredibly powerful men. And the man told about how he made his money, how he made his living. People like John Cougar Mellencamp, who's white, Michael Jackson, who's black, so it doesn't matter, works for everybody. This consultant was a white man, by the way. And the consultant said, I told him the secret. I told them the secret. He said, you've got to give yourself totally to the mysterious power within. That's the secret. You've got to give yourself totally to the mysterious power within. That's magic. When self gets together with the devil, and you get yielded that supernatural power, you get able to do things that nobody else can do. It makes you rich and famous. It makes people start talking about selling their soul to the devil. The Rolling Stones, old men, my age, Mick Jagger, my age, old men, haven't got any business rocking and rolling anywhere. But any time they go out on tour, they make millions of dollars. Tens of millions of dollars. They can take a year, go on tour, and make incredible amounts of money. How do they do it? They do it by demon power. They're wizards. They're sorcerers. Male witches. And they learned how to surrender to that mysterious power within in a way that most people haven't done it. You know that if you go to deep space, let's say you're a life form out there in space, looking around for the Earth and the people on it. If you could do that, you would find that there's a probe out there that was sent by NASA. A probe to acquaint any aliens who might be out there with what Earth is really like. And one of the things you'd find on that spaceship, in that space probe that NASA sent, was the Beatles song, Satisfaction. How do you get powerful enough to get your music sent into outer space in hopes of meeting other forms of life so that they'll believe that this is what the Earth is all about? It takes magic. It takes magic. When I was a teenager, there were a lot of songs about magic. You hear them on the oldie stations. Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? You better believe in it. She'll get pregnant early if you don't. The Magic Man. There's all these songs about magic, not because it's some kind of joke, but because it's real. And I tell you why it's real. Because it's a satanic counterfeit of being filled with the Spirit of God. It's exactly what God would have be true of believers. I mentioned a moment ago, selling your soul to the devil. Here's a little article I gave the board the other day, out of a news magazine. A Seattle atheist sold his soul on eBay's internet auction site for $400. Adam Bertel advertised his immortal self as a 20-year-old Seattle boy's soul, hardly used. A woman in Des Moines, Iowa made the winning bid. eBay has banned Bertel from further auctions. The idea of selling your soul, that's a strange example. Because as Mr. Creech pointed out to me, the Bible suggests that the actual worth of an atheist soul is less than nothing. Which is very sad when you think about it. But witchcraft is learning to yield yourself totally to the power that the devil offers. And that's how people get to be magically empowered souls. But there's some people who say, don't be silly. Don't tell me that J.K. Rowling is a witch. That's Halloween stuff for little kids. Now that's God's word of the Bible. You've heard of the Ten Commandments? There are a lot more than Ten Commandments in the Bible. There are 3,763 commands of God in the Bible. 3,763. But I tell you one that's in there. Exodus 22:18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's a commandment in the Bible. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You say, are you advocating killing witches? Of course not. Because I understand what the Bible teaches about the dispensation of grace. I believe in giving witches the gospel so that they can hear about the Lord Jesus and have an opportunity to be saved and go to heaven. But it's biblical preaching to preach the law. It's convicting to preach the law. Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You know, there are some nations who take witches very seriously. This summer, you know, the one we've just lived through, not back in the ancient past, not in the early days of America, up in Massachusetts this summer in a one-month period. There's an article out of the Associated Press. Uganda, Kampala, villagers have hacked to death, that is, as with a machete. Villagers have hacked to death about 200 suspected witches in rebel-held northeastern Congo since June 15th, blaming them for diseases that have gone untreated since Congo's war broke out 3 years ago. So witches are not a joke, and those people know it. The people who live in the Congo, who live in Uganda, they never ceased to be aware of witches and witchcraft. But in America, ours is much more sophisticated, much more technologically enhanced, much more creative and deceptive, because it often has a Christian name on it. Witches are not a joke. They're a Bible fact. You know how you know that? When you see Bill Clinton get elected and re-elected. That's how you know it. Magic. The man has magic. It's demonic magic. One of the most powerful entities the world has ever known. Actually, second only to God itself. But what about Harry Potter? I claim that J.K. Rowling didn't create him. I want you to know about this. I'm about to read. There's a book. You need to go to the Christian bookstore and buy a copy. It's called Harry Potter and the Bible, The Menace Behind the Magic. Every one of you ought to be very thankful that you don't work for me. Because I would be liable to do you like I did Jerry Smith. I walk up to her, stand there minding her own business in the office, and I say, here's a 275-page book. I want you to read it, analyze it, mark it up, tell me the important stuff in there, and have it back in 48 hours. Not at work, do it at home. But anyway, it's an incredibly helpful book. And if you want to know about Harry Potter, you can find out the stuff that I can't get to in the message that will convince you far beyond what I've had to say. And it's an excellent opportunity not only to read it for yourself, but to pass it along by others and pass it along to people who are interested in the subject. But in this book is this portion. J.K. Rowling came up with the idea for her books in 1990 while traveling on a train. Now think about this. Without any warning, she suddenly just saw Harry, quote, very, very clearly in her mind. She saw him. His visual image actually popped into her thoughts from out of nowhere as a fully formed individual. Sounds kind of like a vision, doesn't it? During one interview, Rowling stated, the character of Harry just strolled into my head. I did feel that he was someone who walked up and introduced himself in my mind's eye. Notice this. Rowling confesses that she had no idea why he chose to come to her when he did. According to her account, Harry just stood there looking very much like he does on the cover of her books, complete with back hair and spectacles. She somehow perceived that he was a wizard. Isn't it interesting that she would think that way? She somehow perceived that he was a wizard. How often do you think about wizards? She somehow perceived that he was a wizard and knew that he did not know that he was a wizard. That's the basis for the books. Soon afterwards, she began thinking about how this could possibly be, and before long, she was writing about a young boy who did not know that he had magical powers. Thus Harry Potter was born. As I say, this book is extremely discerning. It gives you a lot of details that I wouldn't ever have time to give. But here's another important part right here. In July 2000, in an article for the Associated Press, she said, "I'm totally bemused that anyone who's read the books could think that I am a proponent of the occult in any serious way. I don't believe in witchcraft in the sense that they're talking about at all." Again, in an online interview, she explained that when it comes to the kind of magic that appears in her series, she doesn't believe in magic in that way. In another online venue, she remarked, "I don't believe in magic in the way I describe it in my books. I mean, I don't believe in the wand waving sort of magic." But then Richard A. Baines, the author of this book, makes a very interesting observation. He said, "Many people have completely overlooked the obvious qualifiers in these statements. Rowling says she does not believe in witchcraft, quote, in the sense that her critics talk about. She rejects the, quote, wand-waving sort of magic, unquote, that appears in her book. The questions arise, is there another sense in which Rowling does believe in witchcraft? What brand of all the different forms of magic that exist are not the wand-waving sort of magic that she might embrace? That is the question." And he answers the question very well in the course of the book. I want to tell you about a book review. A book review from Christianity Today. Billy Graham once said it was his favorite publication in the world. It's actually the house organ of evangelicalism. But this is a book review of the Harry Potter books. Who is Harry Potter? We first meet Harry in the book Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, soon to be a movie. He's a 10-year-old orphan living with relatives who despise him. It's not until his 11th birthday that Harry learns he has magical abilities and a rather interesting past. But what's interesting to me is the reviewer doesn't mention what his interesting past was. His mother was a witch. His father was a wizard. How could a reviewer leave that part out? Unless it, perhaps it might be intentionally. When he was a baby, his parents were both killed while trying to fight the most evil wizard on earth, Lord Voldemort. Miraculously, baby Harry escaped, and the wicked wizard, with only a lightning bolt scar on his forehead and little memory of the incident. A lightning bolt scar on his forehead. That's why you see the little kiddies at Walmart with their purple scars, which are stickers. As a wizard, Harry is invited to enroll at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft. And here, Harry realizes the significance of his past. Hogwarts is an enchanted place, invisible to muggles. That's most of you. You're a muggle, a non-magical person. A non-magical person, you can't see the school of witches and wizardry. So if your children happen to mention the word muggles, you'll know where it comes from. It's somebody who doesn't appreciate the Harry Potter books. In fact, muggles are consistently portrayed by Rowling as narrow-minded and callous, persons unable to grasp the glory of magic. They're also incredibly slow when it comes to perceiving truth, although, as one witch puts it, they're not completely stupid. So you'll be thankful to know if you're a muggle that you're not completely stupid. But anyway, Harry Potter goes to this Hogwarts enchanted school, the school of witchcraft and wizardry. And he's there to be trained. Now, we're talking about a series of 7 books because J.K. Rowling, as you said in numerous interviews, believes that seven is a magical number. Seven books. She's written four so far. The Christianity Today Review continues. What's to love about Harry? Not only are the Harry Potter books creative, insightful, and well-written, they're downright funny. Harry Potter provides creative fuel for growing minds. Although the books aren't Christ-centered and don't promote Christianity, they still offer powerful lessons in compassion, courage, self-sacrifice, and doing the right thing despite the risk. The characters are very real, experiencing new emotions, and forming meaningful relationships with one another. So you can see that Christianity Today doesn't have any problem with Harry Potter. But not only is Christianity Today taking that position, how about Chuck Colson? Chuck Colson, the attorney, used to be what he termed the hatchet man for the Nixon White House, who professed to get born again. And for several years, his most prominent position in my way of thinking is he's been the producer of Adventures in Odyssey, James Dobson's number one children's program, focused on the family. And he defends Harry Potter. The Richard A. Baines book says this: surprisingly, several evangelical Christians have chosen to support Rowling's work despite these warning signs of occultism. Chuck Colson, founder of Prison Fellowship, has stated that Rowling, quote, presents evil as evil and good as good. He also says the following: the magic in these books is purely mechanical as opposed to occultic. That is, Harry and his friends cast spells, read crystal balls, turn themselves into animals, but they don't make contact with the supernatural world. Now you tell me how you change yourself into an animal if you don't have supernatural power. Colson goes on. He says, contrast the mechanical magic in the Potter books to the kind of real-life witchcraft that the Bible condemns, the kind that encourages involvement with supernatural evil. But then Richard A. Baines says this in his book: although sincere in his attempt to support what he believes to be harmless fantasy, Colson fails to comprehend the depth of occultism found in the books. He does not understand the relationship that exists between the novels and real-world occultism. Colson incorrectly states that Harry and his friends engage only in harmless mechanical magic. In reality, Harry and his companions go far beyond this kind of entertaining hocus-pocus by delving into the realms of divination. This presents an even more straightforward example of how Rowling incorporates actual occultism into her books. Divination is defined as a willful exploration of the future or the discovery of hidden things by various practices. Most common are astrology, dowsing, dreams, cards, crystal gazing, numerology, palmistry, omens. Many of these techniques are repeatedly mentioned and casually engaged in by Rowling's characters, especially in her third and fourth books. But notice this, because this is the key to the whole thing. God's Word does not forbid involvement with supernatural evil. The Bible condemns all forms of communication with the spirit world except communication with God through the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son. That's the key. There is no white magic. There is no good magic. There is no good magician, a good practicer of magic. God's Word does not forbid involvement with supernatural evil. The Bible condemns all forms of communication with the spirit world, except communication with God through the Holy Spirit. Now, not only do we have Christianity Today, and Chuck Colson, and a good many other evangelicals who are in favor of Harry Potter, it's also true of most of the apostate denominations. Again, if you'll read Richard A. Baines' book, you'll find out about the Roman Catholics and the Methodists and the Episcopalians, the others who support it. The public schools, they love Harry Potter. The famous teaching children to read. Christian schools with no discernment, they love Harry Potter. But here's somebody who really loves it. A man who has the magic. The magic that most of the world would give anything to have. His name is Stephen King. Stephen King. One of the most prolific writers the world has ever known. Countless books dealing with horror, the occult. Stephen King read in the New York Times Review of Books in his article, Wild About Harry, that the Potter series, which he loves, would provide children with a good introduction to his own gruesome and demonic horror novels when they're old enough to read them. So, you know, everybody ought to be encouraged by that. But Stephen King is another man who has just surrendered to the power of the mysterious spirits within. And he's got them, plenty of them. Maybe 2,000, maybe 6,000, who knows? But they're the very sophisticated kind. They're the Bill Clinton kind. The kind that fits in well at cocktail parties and dishonest deals. Stephen King is to the literary world what the Rolling Stones are to the musical world. There's something else I want to point out, because it is the theology and the morality consideration. Let me tell you this first. According to August 4th, 2000 article that appeared in the British publication, This is London, the Pagan Federation has had to appoint a new officer to deal with a flood of inquiries concerning the success of Potter books. You know, that's one of the things that the hoax article said, that there were a lot of children being bought into this because of their association with the Potter books. Well, here are the pagans themselves saying that. And they say in this story, Harry Potter, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer are quite probably the things that link it. Every time an article on witchcraft or paganism appears, we have a huge surge in calls, mostly from young girls. So the television is moving right along with the Harry Potter books, so that the kids will be thinking about essentially the same thing. In my day, it was Bewitched. That was a TV program. Now it's Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But the point is, J.K. Rowling's theology is not biblical. Someone asked Harry if he knows anything about the mysterious events going on at Hogwarts. Harry responds with a lie. And yet another scene where Harry is caught doing something he should not be doing, Rowling makes a straightforward declaration that typifies her lead character. Harry lied quickly. Perhaps all of this unrepentant lying and disobedience can be traced to Rowling's personal belief, quote, children are innately good unless they've been very damaged. That's her theology. Children are innately good. The Bible says children are innately evil. Exactly the opposite. Oddly, she's used these very words to describe her young heroes, saying Harry, Ron, and Hermione are innately good people. Perhaps Rowling sees sporadic lying, along with varying degrees of rebellion and disobedience, as little more than natural quirks of innately good kids. I tell you how this fits into the culture. This was in the Bob Jones newsletter. Came out of U.S. News and World Report. CBS News anchor Dan Rather said in a Fox interview that Bill Clinton is an honest man. Rather said, I think you can be an honest person and lie about any number of things. Now that's the Dan Rather theology. That's the Bill Clinton theology. I think you can be an honest person and lie about any number of things. It's a very important quote. Because it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It tells you where things are going. The threefold message that Roland presents through her characters is clear. Number one, rules are made to be broken if they do not serve one's own self-interest. Number two, rules need not be obeyed if no good reason seems to exist for them. And number three, lying is an effective and acceptable means of achieving a desired end. But I'm going to close with this. I'm accused of being a witch. Does she have the magic? I claim she has the magic. Four books out of the seven have been written. Her ex-husband said that she's going to write seven because it's a magical number in her mind. But with the four books that have been written so far, this is the most successful printing effort the world's ever known. Does that happen by accident? The most successful printing effort the world has ever known. A record first printing, 3.8 million books. More than any other book that's ever been written. More than any Bible that's ever been published. The top four slots on the bestseller list of USA Today, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. No other authors ever even come close to that. The most recent book came out, it took 9,000 Federal Express trucks to deliver 255,000 pre-sold copies. It was already number one on the list before the first one was delivered. Incredible figure. Over 40 million copies in 40 languages to 130 countries. When it comes to distribution, nothing but the Bible has ever been as widely distributed. She's got the power. She's got magic. The film, Warner Brothers has already committed to make a film of all seven books. The first movie costs $150 million. The 14-year-old kid that's starring in it gets $1.55 million to star in the first movie. The film is going to be distributed in 59 nations over the next 12 months. And J.K. Rowling is the highest paid woman in Great Britain. The highest paid woman in her nation. Because she's magic. She's got the power. The kind of power the devil gives to certain people who give themselves completely to him. Concerned parents, out of this book again, concerned parents have responded by lodging protests with schools and children's libraries. Some have even filed lawsuits. As of November 2000, the books have been challenged more than 400 times and over 25 school districts in 19 states. According to the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom, Rowling's books topped the 1999 list of most frequently challenged books in America due to their focus on wizardry and magic. So there are few people who understand this problem. And the question is, do you understand this problem? Do you understand it enough to keep your children away from Harry Potter? Do you understand it enough to warn other people about it? You ought to make, cost Earl of making several $1 million buying all these books you're going to buy for me. Harry Potter and the Bible, the menace behind the magic. That'll tell you everything you know. And you'll read some incredibly spiritual, powerful passages in here that would, they just boggle my mind to see the insight that woman has into satanic power, satanic theory. But the important thing is to know that you have eternal life. to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. This thing is coming in like a flood. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. It could be that that standard is going to be the rapture. The Lord could come any moment. But I want to point this out to you just as an aside. This is out of today's Fun of April. I don't know if you know who Bill Keene is, the family circus. He professes to be saved. And he draws these strange little maps all the time showing what kids do. And here's this little kid who's going to his house. He starts in his bedroom. He says, "Goodbye, bedroom." He's getting ready to leave for school at the end of the summer. "Goodbye, bedroom. Farewell, fridge. Bye-bye, daddy. Bye-bye, treehouse. Take care, scooter. See your computer." He gets on down toward the end. He says, "Thanks for everything, TV. He says, "Cheerio, Harry Potter. Cheerio, Harry Potter." I guarantee you the Harry Potter books are in Bill Keene's house, his grandchildren's house. As the little kitty goes on by saying, "Cheerio, Harry Potter, goodbye, TV," and out the door to his public school bus. That's the story of the nation. That's how Harry Potter takes over the world. Let's bow together as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, for thy goodness. We pray that you'll move in power to help us, that our fellowship might be eternally profitable as we go from here to reach a lost and dying world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.